Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Our third value. The third value is we believe in a meritocracy. We are a people who have existed for long periods of times with class structures. We've even had firm class structures, hereditary kings. Again, in this modern age, there's this obsession with so-called democracy, but for most of history, democracy didn't exist. And if it existed, it existed on the basis of how many men would fight for a particular value. Democracy is a very fragile, short-lived thing that is easily abused and easily broken apart. For most of our existence, we've been ruled by kings. We've had kings and tribal leaders or chieftains who called themselves kings. We've actually been ruled by kings for much of our existence. So this endless focus and striving for democracy and democracy at all costs and democracy with all kinds of people, this is complete rubbish and it runs totally contrary to history. There have been democracies. The Romans were probably the longest lived one, and even how their democracy worked is very different to the way the current democracy works. In fact, all current democracy is based on the ideas of democracy of the Greeks and the Romans. But the Romans were the greatest practitioners of it, and how they practiced it versus how we practice it is completely different. But returning to our concept of meritocracy, all I want to say is that we have, as a people, for very long periods of time, allowed ourselves to have a class structure where you have either a king at the top, often kings for long periods of time, often hereditary kings, and then we've also had nobles, upper classes. And the nobles have either been warriors or priests. Priests and religion has played a role in our civilization in the past, and you should see priests and religion as the time when the intellectual takes control. Religion has not been so much about God as it has been about the power of the intellectual to take control of all of society. And religion has done so on the basis of special knowledge. The original religions were based on an understanding of the movements of the stars and the planets and the seasons. And it gave these intellectuals a power for prediction. And this power and special knowledge about how to predict the future, predicting the seasons, this actually was a great power, and this is actually the original basis from which other religions have derived. And so the original religions didn't have to do with believing in God. It had to do with observing the gods in the sky and using that knowledge to predict actual things on earth. And the actual things were the seasons. It was very important. It enabled agriculture to take off. It was very critical for agriculture. And it was a system of controlling people. But it was intellectuals using their knowledge to gain control of the masses. And these things happen to this day. But there have been many times, and even within that system, there has always been a desire for a meritocracy, that whenever people get a chance to be rewarded for their efforts, you will see that whites explode like a nuclear bomb into energy. We love meritocracy. We love it like mad. We want to be rewarded for our work. We want to be rewarded for our courage. We want to be rewarded for our suffering. We want rewards for the things we've striven for. People being rewarded, even in simple ways, is a thing that has worked for us like crazy. Napoleon used to observe the incredible lengths that men would go to just to get a ribbon, just to get a military acknowledgement for bravery, for some kind of military achievement, for survival, for doing something in the military world. Men would go to unbelievable lengths just for that ribbon. And Napoleon once said, if I had enough ribbon, I would be able to rule the world. And that is meritocracy. Hitler himself was a great believer in meritocracy. In fact, Nazism is based on a firm understanding of meritocracy as well as the power of inheritance, of nature. Nature allowing children to inherit the intelligence of their parents. There are things that Hitler did that were based not as much on emotion as on science, like he wanted the poor children to have good educations because he knew that out of the children of poor families are going to come kids that are extremely talented. Hitler and Napoleon and others were well aware of merit and the importance to promote and reward on merit. Mostly we like to promote people on the basis of merit, but there are times when we can't promote everybody. So then what we do is we reward them. We give them awards. We give them a moment in public and everybody cheers them and people clap and people give them ovations and so on. We like to reward achievement. We like to recognize achievement and we like to reward achievement. And when we are given chances to achieve, we will go to unbelievable lengths. We will be willing to have our arms and legs cut off or shot off in our desire to achieve something and be rewarded for it. And also just to achieve the warmth and love of our fellow whites. People will go to great lengths. They'll risk their lives, their limbs. They'll have parts of their bodies shot off in order that they can experience even the warmth and love of other people in their group. It's a fantastic thing. It's a truly fantastic feature of our society. It's not always been around, but we are very critical about it. Even when it's not really allowed, we are very irritated by it. We hate it when the upper classes are busy with incompetence and things like that, and it's not punished, and that there are better people below them. In the end, meritocracy is an important thing for us. Being rewarded on merit is important for us, and it again ties back to the truth. It brings us back to the truth. What is best? The other aspect of this is that it brings about pride. We have a concept of pride in our work. We take pride in the things we do. And this worker attitude of striving for the best in what we do can be combined into a positive feedback system. So somebody takes great pains to do their best in the work that they do. That work can be anything. It can be a scientist, it can be an engineer, it can be an accountant, it can be an artist, it can be a sniper, you know, whatever it is, somebody who designs a missile, somebody who fires a piece of artillery, our insistence and desire for precision and for pride in our work and doing our work to its greatest ability. When this is coupled with rewarding of merit, recognition of merit, The reward might not always be money. It can be just an award, an achievement. It can be a moment of glory. It can be a medal that you pin on your chest. It can be a chance to be put on TV or radio. Whatever the reward is, the wider recognition of the achievements of this person, the rewarding of merit can result in a very positive feedback loop that strengthens itself, a loop that makes us try even harder. And it's a very, very positive aspect of our civilization and of our people. We drive ourselves hard and we get rewarded for it, and we drive ourselves even harder still. And it's excellent. It's extremely powerful. And when this system is put into place, you will see that the people who worked it, like when the Romans did it, or the French under Napoleon did it, or the Germans under Hitler did it, you will see an energy coming out of people, especially males. You will see an energy coming out of people that is unbelievable. And in this regard, women can play a powerful role. Women can be a powerful, an unbelievably powerful catalyst for bringing out the greatest in men. Men will do anything for the love of a woman. And women can use their love as a means of catalyzing men to a degree that becomes insanely wild, and it's filled with a energy that is as powerful as a nuclear bomb. It turns white people into a wild energy form that is unmatched. There is nothing like it. When whites are infused with this energy, the end result is beyond belief. The American system, in its own way, before it got corrupted by the Jews who came in the late 1800s, the American system is largely based on a reward of merit. But it's become ever more corrupted as time has gone by, and it's moving into its death cycle. But when whites are motivated, and they are motivated in the right way, an energy comes out of them, a wild, mad energy, a focused energy that is so incredible, it's so unstoppable. Whites are like a freaking tidal wave. They'll smash anything that stands in their way. They'll tear anything down. It's a very potent feature. When whites are led correctly, whites are like wild beasts, and men will rip anything apart that stands in their way. And if it's coupled with the correct feedback cycles, the correct feedback loops, like recognition, men recognizing the achievements of other men, women recognizing the achievements of other women, and then it goes intersexual, where men recognize the achievements of women, women recognize the achievements of men, leaders recognize the achievements of people at the lower levels recognize the achievements of the upper levels. When you get that system to work together like a proper engine, white people are like a fucking nuclear bomb. They'll just tear anything apart, rip anything down, kill anything that gets in the way. There's nothing that'll stand in their way. They're like a wild beast on the rampage. It's a fantastic part of whites. It's very dormant and dead at this point in time, but it's a thing that exists. And I've mentioned Quigley and the tension of development. This thing eventually comes, and when it comes, it's like a freaking tidal wave. It's like a nuclear bomb. It's like an earthquake. It just tears things apart. It's like a hurricane. It just rips down anything that's in its way. When whites are properly organized and the engine starts running, you better get out the way. You're going to be fucking dead if you try to stop this thing in motion. It's the greatest power of white people. You could say that there are moments when whites are not only a team, but they become a super team. And there are many occasions in history where whites have become a super team. You'll see it in many, many places. You'll see it like when the Boers fought against the British Empire, couple of farmers fighting the whole British Empire. You'll see it when the Finns were fighting millions of invading Russians and they were slaughtering Russians like dogs, even though they were vastly outnumbered and they were just a tiny little nation. You'll see these things over and over again in the history of whites. When whites kick off and they go from being not just a team, and they're good as a team, make no mistake, but they go into being like a super team. And when they do that, man, you better get out of the way. If you try to stop them, they're going to rip your head off. When whites hit into this mode, this is when you see creativity like you've never seen before. One good idea on top of another. You'll see heroism. You'll see deeds of impossible selflessness, high risks being taken by large numbers of people. You just see whites becoming a ball of nuclear energy. Absolutely a ball of nuclear energy. That's the only thing you can describe it as. It is an energy that is out of this world. And it's the main thing that we should all be striving for, is we should be striving for this nuclear bomb, this human white nuclear bomb that is going to be unleashed, that is going to explode across the Western world, where whites become like a nuclear bomb that's hit critical mass, and everything's been quiet until you hit critical mass. And then the explosion just comes. Boom. I am convinced that this can happen, and it can happen even in our lifetimes. If we get our act together and we do this right, whites can be like an unstoppable nuclear bomb. You'll just see an explosion of whites, and it'll just rip across the Western world. You'll just see people getting killed. You'll just see governments toppling, Jews fleeing, blacks running for their lives, everyone ducking as the tidal wave of white energy just flashes across every corner of the Western world. It is very possible. It's happened before. It's sitting in history books. It's been written about, and you can read about it. It's not just been done once, it's been done thousands of times. When whites hit that critical mass, mostly whites hit critical mass in a single country at a single time, but there are times when whites can hit a critical mass over larger areas, and there's no reason why in this current age of white bashing, where you can have the white counterpunch, and the white counterpunch will come like a freaking hydrogen bomb. It'll just blast across the Western world. And it'll do so on such short order, nobody will know what the hell hit them. It's very doable. Whites can become a super team. And when they do, you better be diving into the trenches because that nuclear shockwave is just going to rip you to pieces. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.